This is The Guardian.
Wenn man Leute fragt, was macht einen Investor aus, bekommt man oft diese Antworten. Investoren sind reich. Sie tragen teure Anzüge und haben Designertaschen. Sie waren Einserschüler und sind Mathe-Genies. Interessant, aber das stimmt so nicht ganz. Man muss weder reich noch Experte sein, um zu investieren. Mit iShares ETFs kannst du in Hunderte und Tausende von Unternehmen mit nur einem einfachen Schritt investieren. Schon ab einem Euro. Finde iShares bei deinem Broker oder deiner Bank und fang noch heute an, mit ETFs zu sparen. Kapitalanlagerisiko. Marketinginformation.
Politics Weekly UK is taking a break for Christmas and the New Year. We'll be back soon enough. But in the meantime, if you're looking for a few things to keep you entertained, I'm going to talk about a few of my favourite books, albums and TV shows from the last year. I'm John Harris and you're listening to Politics Weekly UK for The Guardian. Beyond Westminster and increasingly in the inner circles of politics, one of this year's big themes was all about nature, our threatened environment, and issues about land and property that were once overlooked but are now being loudly talked about. Some of this is about how things move from the culture into political debate. The popularity of walking and hiking, for example, rose during the pandemic and then put a new kind of environmentalism on the agenda. The dire state of our rivers and the tireless campaigning of Fergal Sharkey has been every bit as important. Once he was the singer with the Northern Irish punk-ish band The Undertones, but last time I saw him, during the election campaign, he was standing on the end of a pier in Redcar talking about discharges of sewage, or as he puts it, poo.
I've been fortunate in my life, a little while ago I will admit, to stand on another wooden platform called a stage and utter those immortal words, "Good night, Wembley!" Then I get to stand in the end of Saltbeer Pier talking about poo. Well, clearly in a previous life I was a tiller of a hub or something, really, really bad. Listen, the simple truth of the matter is, we now live in a world where our rivers and our beaches and our seas reflect the state of society overall.
And then there was this. We're on Whitehall now, facing the gates of Downing Street. There are thousands of people here. Many of whom have got homemade placards. Never corner a farmer, it always ends badly. I think I saw one before saying, Starmer the farmer, harmer. So tell me which part of the country you're farming and what you farm?
I'm a farmer from Wallingford in Oxfordshire.
Okay, what do you farm?
Cattle, sheep and arable crops.
Okay, and has your farm been in your family for a fair while?
Yeah, we've been farming for about 450 years, so yeah, a few weeks, yeah.
Why have you come today?
We're just trying to make our voice heard. We are, you know, we're people, we want to feed the nation, but we're just getting absolute crippled by these potential tax rises. If you look at the DEFRA figures, a huge percentage of the farming industry working below the minimum wage. You've got a budget saying we're going to put the minimum wage up for everyone, and then you've imposed a crippling tax on people who aren't even getting the minimum wage. You just look at it, it's just cock.
Just cock. There's a quotation, if ever, yeah. I had. In a very different way, the farmers' protests that erupted after the budget have also let loose big questions about the countryside and its future, sometimes in ways that big agricultural interests don't like. 2 years ago, for example, the right to roam was a subject on the political fringes. Now you hear it talked about all the time. There's a whole chunk of publishing now devoted to these subjects, which I've been immersed in for most of the year, so I'll big up two books. The Lie of the Land is by the campaigner and writer Guy Shrubsole. It's all about the people and vested interests that own our landscape, the damage many of them have done to it, and how to move into a better future. I'll quote a few of the questions he asks. Why does England not take lessons from Scotland and empower communities to buy more land for nature restoration? Why doesn't the state spend less money paying landowners who fail to deliver and more on buying land itself, creating a new public nature estate in the process? Why are our national parks not in fact owned by the nation? And why do we not give national park authorities the powers to make these precious places wilder?
It's a very, very good book. So is The Lost Paths by Jack Cornish, who spends a lot of his waking hours as the head of paths at the walking charity, The Ramblers. His book is full of vivid glimpses of how we got around before the invention of the car and how the past can still be seen in the tangle of rural footpaths that runs all over the UK. But it also looks at cities through the same prism. It's political with a small p in the best way and highly recommended. Right, some music. In 2022, Nick Cave published an amazing book titled Faith, Hope and Carnage, a collection of dialogues with the Observer writer Sean O'Hagan, with one huge loss at its core, the senseless death of Cave's 15-year-old son, Arthur. That book is full of insights about what happens when life fills up with grief and hurt, and what happens to us when we suffer shocks and ruptures. It also shades into the quest for meaning that has since led Cave to tentatively embrace Christianity. These kinds of themes and feelings have inevitably defined his recent musical work as well. Unimaginably, he lost another son 2 years ago and led on to Wild God, which is one of my favourite albums of the year. A huge, profound, life-affirming record which somehow emphasises the importance of joy. If you haven't heard it and you have any preconceptions about the man who made it, you should listen. Finally, I don't watch much TV, but I'm belatedly immersed in Snowfall, the epic 60-part drama series that begins with the decisive arrival of crack cocaine in Los Angeles and explores the links between the so-called war on drugs, US foreign policy, organized crime, the modern social history of African-American communities, and much more besides.
You got three things in life when you're born. What your mama tells you, what the streets teach you, and what the future holds, which no one knows. That's the one you got control over.
Frankie!
Franklin Saint, king of all the white boys.
I'm here to buy.
I don't sell coke to kids.
And what do you sell?
I sell kilos to people with money.
It's an amazing kaleidoscopic experience, which feels totally modern. Another example of how being political with a small p actually increases the impact of the arts. There aren't many shows you end up carrying around in your head, but this is definitely one of them. Thanks for listening. Politics Weekly Westminster with Pippa and Kieran will be back on Monday the 6th of January, and I'll be back, as usual, on Thursday the 9th of January. This episode was produced by Frankie Toby. The music is by Axel Cacoutier, and the executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson.
This is The Guardian.
Wie kann man Risiko im Leben reduzieren? Einen Helm tragen, fit bleiben und die Freunde meiden, die verrückte Ideen hatten. Und beim Investieren? Hier sollte man diversifizieren. Wenn du in einen iShares ETF investierst, kaufst du in einem Schritt einen Teil von Hunderten oder Tausenden von Unternehmen. So musst du dir keine Sorgen mehr machen. Du kannst dir stattdessen lieber Gedanken darüber machen, wer die Fotos von der wilden Nacht mit deinen Freunden gemacht hat. Finde iShares bei deinem Broker oder deiner Bank und fange noch heute an, mit ETFs zu sparen. Kapitalanlagerisiko. Marketinginformation.